Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. Go to 971talk.com/DGS live to get the remaining tickets for DGS 5. Coming right up, like a couple weeks away. 2 weeks from tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
That's crazy. 2 weeks from tomorrow at the gorgeous, acoustically perfect Sheldon Theater. And again, we are all sold out except for the balcony. And I think there are about 100 tickets left there. So go get them. Let me turn it over to you.
Sure. I've got lots of stuff to talk about today.
Bragger.
I am a bragger.
You are.
I work hard for this content here.
Let's hear this great stuff.
I wanted to get to this. I didn't say it was great. I said I have a bunch of stuff. A strip club in Juneau, Alaska is going to host a Christian bluegrass concert. And that is because the Christian group behind the concert says we should turn this strip club over to the community. Look at all the great family activities we could have if this were to just happen. It's still currently a strip club, but they're going to host this Christian bluegrass concert at the facility to hopefully change the public opinion and turn it on over to the community.
Okay, I'm lost. So they're not really cooperating with the strippers. They don't want the strippers. They're hoping to get rid of the strippers.
Yes.
And turn it into a family place.
Yeah, they're not having the concert while people strip.
And are the strippers just like, fine, we'll make some money. We'll rent it to you. We don't care.
I guess so. I mean, apparently it's up for rent to do these kind of things. So they're taking advantage.
As strippers do.
Do you think they're doing it because it's a strip club? Like,
yes.
This is an evangelism opportunity, or is it just a nice venue?
No, I don't think that. I don't know. I don't think they're, like, planning on anyone who was going to go to the strip club showing up and then thinking,
hey, I love Christian bluegrass.
This is something to try out. I don't think that's what they're banking on. I think it's just more to show, guys, we don't need a strip club in this town. We could take this space and make it into something better.
What if they combined it all?
That's what I'm saying. That's
Dakota
when I would be...
Dakota on stage three and some guy at the fiddle like, well, Jesus, well, on the cross.
That's when I would be extremely impressed, if we could pull that up.
Yeah.
But
speaking of Christianity and strippers, I used to work a golf tournament at a golf course that had a stripper tournament. And I was required to work it because I was an employee.
Mm-hmm. I was a stripper.
Yeah. And man, a lot of stories from those. But one of them was that I said, look, I really am uncomfortable with this. At least let me just stay at the cart barn. Because if you're out on the course, like, everybody's naked. But if you're in the cart barn,
you're fine. They strip while they golf.
So yeah, it's like some local strip club. It might still be going
on. Now, is this for the benefit of the strippers, or is they are the entertainment?
The strippers benefit from it in the way that I think they get tipped a lot by the golfers. It's not like a benefit
for strippers.
The way
you said it made it sound like strippers were playing golf for them.
Yeah, I thought like the owner of the strip club was like, girls, you work so hard.
In which case, I'm keeping my clothes on.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, if I take my clothes off professionally, if I'm playing golf, I'm keeping my shirt on.
No, they took their clothes off and they were not playing golf.
Mm.
The tickets were very expensive. And here's the weird thing. A lot of like local celebrities and business owners would show up at that tournament, and you'd recognize them when they walked up, but when you look on the T-sheet, they were using fake names. So you'd be like, okay.
Like, I'm here for the Christian bluegrass concert out on the green.
Yeah, but I had to go out onto the course once because a cart broke down, and so I'm like, oh, great, here we go. What's going to happen? So I go out there, and I'm trying to kind of not look at all the women, and it's impossible to do, but I tried. And so I get to the cart where it was broken down, and these guys were clear. Like I said, there's a lot of rich people out there. These guys were not them. These guys were guys who saved up all year, and this was their big moment.
That makes me sad.
It was very sad. They were really having fun, but yeah, it was sad.
I hope they had fun. I'm not trying to be condescending, but it's just like, oh man.
Well, I ruined it. That's sort of the point of the story is that they're like, hey, you probably having a great time. You don't even have to pay to be here. And I'm like, yeah, not really. And they're like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I'm a Christian. And they're like, oh.
He like, has a relationship with Christ.
There goes all
like the
fun
two
we were
you,
having.
Broke ass hellbound gentlemen.
Yeah.
Just a reminder that we all have to face God someday. And this is definitely going to come up.
Yeah. That was all on their face. Everything you just said was what they responded with. So it pretty much ruined their day.
Hmm. Way to go.
Yeah. Way to go, Ryan.
You would have been a great disciple. Even they would have called you Wiggins the Downer.
Doubting Thomas and Wiggins the Downer.
Like on the night of the crucifixion, you'd say something and be like, really? You even made this worse?
Ryan, do you have a favorite apostle?
John. Yeah, really? Definitely. John.
Mine's Peter.
Yeah. Okay, the last 8 seconds was just...
Okay, we can talk about it off the air.
So weird.
I was actually just thinking, I was doing laundry the other day and I had that thought. I was like, now I have like a Christian friend at work I can ask these questions to.
Ryan, let me ask you this. If Peter and Paul were Indian leg wrestling...
Yeah, it'd be like, who would win in a fight, The Flash or Captain America? Right, we'll do that with apostles.
Yeah, except you guys will know who's who. Like, what if Aquaman... should we promote what we're going to do and when we're
going to
do
it? Yeah, let's do it. So on Friday, we are going to do our sword drill with the Bible verse race between Ryan and I. Ryan has never done this before, which is fine. I always just assume that everyone had the exact same Christian upbringing as me, but you actually just said on the show the other day you didn't even become a Christian until you were an adult, right?
I went to church when I was a kid, okay, but I wouldn't have said, yes, I'm a Christian until college, probably.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. So Ryan's never done it before, but he obviously reads his Bible, so he knows where the books and stuff are. And then just to make it interesting, we're going to have a third player.
Yeah, to be named later.
TBD. Oh,
do you already know who it is?
Yes.
Or, okay.
Yes, we do.
So, okay, so basically, I would say Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 14, and you guys just have to find it and then read it.
You can't just be like, oh, I know that one. That is a Bible memory.
You have to find it physically.
You have to physically find it and read it.
See, I think that if you knew it, you would have a leg up because you could say it faster.
But it's about referencing it in the book. That's the name
the
of
the sword
game.
Drill.
Yes. Come on, Wiggins.
So I would suggest that you just look
Christian
up
cheater.
Bible verse. Because if you are just spitballing and like, John 17, it might not exist. Or it might be a weird
one. If there is a heaven, I do not want to be next in line behind Ryan when like the worst thing he's done is he looked at a naked woman before witnessing to someone and then he cheated at Bible trivia by like just giving like we see here that you just gave the verse out of memory and didn't really look it up physically.
You know that's not the point of the game.
I'm behind him like, oh God, oh God.
You know what? I'm just going to leave. Let me go check out that purgatory.
Where are the stairs?
Did you guys ever watch Jersey Shore? Are you familiar with Mike the Situation?
Yep.
Yep.
He is in prison right now for tax fraud, federal prison, but minimal security offender section. And he is posting photos to Instagram from the prison.
And what was it, taxes? Is that what he's in for?
Tax fraud. Yeah.
There's a whole lot of that.
It's just interesting. We always talk about how there's two different justice systems. And even when you're a F-list, Z-list celebrity like The Situation, you're going to do okay. He's posting from Instagram and his Jersey Shore castmates are visiting him. And
yeah, and I've heard that everybody in New Jersey hates that show because it casts the whole state in a light that they do not like.
I bet, yeah.
I couldn't imagine anything more frustrating if you were like a decent person who lived in New Jersey.
Which is really hard to come by.
Keeping on our trashy news segment, porn has been deemed a public health crisis by Arizona politicians.
How so?
Because of the way it's affecting children, they say children are being exposed to pornography at an alarming rate, leading to low self-esteem, eating disorders, and an increase in problematic sexual activity at ever younger ages.
Do you know what the average age is that a kid is exposed to pornography now?
I don't.
I think, my wife's a teacher, so she hears these stats more than I do, but I think it was like 8 years old.
Wow.
Which is way younger than I remember being exposed to it. And I know what you and I are going to say is, yeah, good, but Dave, do you think that is something that the government should get involved in?
No. Like when Rach was explaining the story, what I was going through in my head is, this is what makes me politically, is that I can think something is bad and not want the government to fix it. I think that it's bad for kids to be exposed to pornography that early and have unfettered access to it. There's nothing good that comes from that, but that's a parenting problem, and I don't want the government handling that issue for me.
I personally wouldn't mind if the government got a little more involved in the porn industry, because it's extremely problematic, and if you look into it, it's pretty heartbreaking. Young women especially go into the industry thinking, oh, I'm going to become a star, which is a stupid thing to think, and they're wrong for thinking that in the first place. You're not going to become the next Jenna Jameson. You're just going to get used up in 6 months, and then your life is ruined forever because there are videos of you having sex on the internet. But the alarming rate at which these girls just, they go in looking a certain way and they come out, it's horrible. It's heartbreaking. And a lot of them get sucked in because they're preyed upon on like Craigslist and just normal places like that, thinking they're going to a modeling job, and then they find out it's a porn thing.
What would you do though? Like, if you were in charge of the government, what would you do to help that?
I would just try to regulate it, just like we regulate every other industry. But it seems like pornography, since it is seedy and since it's uncomfortable to talk about, and, you know, no one wants to admit that they see it or watch it or seek it out, and no one wants to admit the bad things
but
that they
other
see.
Other than, like, you have to be 18 to be in a movie, which is the law.
Well, they have, like, the Actors Guild. They should have the Porn Actors Guild.
You're talking about the creation of pornography. You're talking about how do you regulate people consuming
right,
it.
Right, right, right.
No. I'm talking about creating it. I mean, you can't have a 17-year-old in a pornographic film.
Right.
So that's regulated. I think there are some regulations.
There are some.
About health, things like that.
But I think they, for the most part, just get blown past because no one's really paying attention to
it. I'm just not a fan of the government regulating bad decisions.
I agree, but whenever the government decides that prostitution is illegal, but if you do those same acts and you're getting paid to do those same acts in front of a camera, suddenly it's legal and we're not going to protect you whatsoever. It's just crazy to me.
But that sounds like you want to outlaw pornography.
No, I don't want to outlaw. I don't want to outlaw pornography, but I believe it should be regulated.
Okay, I'm not trying to start a fight. I just don't understand how, though. Like, what?
I just said if you created like a guild that you had to be a part of, and people actually had to be vetted, and if there was, I mean, I hate to be like, they should unionize, but that's a way to do it. But as of right now, anyone could get sucked into it and do it and make terrible decisions, and then suddenly you're showing up to a porn shoot. And you think it's going to be one thing, and then it turns out to be extremely grotesque and violent or whatever, and you don't feel protected, there's not security there, and a lot of girls end up doing things they would have never chosen to do a month prior, but they're just continuing down this bad path because there aren't any sort of stop signs anywhere along the way.
But devil's advocate, I'm not a part of the Screen Actors Guild, but I can go make a movie. And there are those types of things for porn actors. But then there are several levels to that. Like, anyone can get an iPhone and someone who's 18 and say...
You know, it's interesting we're talking about this because I'm sitting here... I'm actually arguing against everything I normally argue against, which is let people make their own decisions. I've just looked into this and my heart's been broken by it. But at the end of the day, it boils down to a culture that simultaneously celebrates and shames these people. Like, you're going to be rewarded in that, yeah, we'll pay you to do it, and people love porn. Nobody's going to stop watching porn, but we think you're a horrible person for being involved with this in the first place.
Yeah.
It's just...
And that goes... It really does go right back to your original story, where the way I look at it is, it's terrible that someone would be... either make a terrible decision with their eyes wide open or be fooled into something, but... That doesn't mean I want the government to jump in and regulate it, because let's say that someone is raped. People are raped on porn stages all the time. Mm-hmm. They may not report it for various reasons, but that's against the law. There is a law for that. And so the fact that someone made a bad decision to do something and then was violated and makes another bad decision not to report it, you see what I'm saying? Like, if you like wedge your way through a whole bunch of rules and regulations to do something anyway, and you get hurt, that's on you, not on the rules and the regulation. To me.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, On List, you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, happy Wednesday to you. Rach, you have more stuff and it looks like some sort of graph.
Yeah, I do have a graph. I don't know. I just flagged this last night. Not flagged as in failed, like they say at Vianney, but flagged as in highlighted. This I saw it on Twitter. Sometimes a headline just grabs me. I almost want to create a segment on the show like stupidest sounding headline of the day. But this was yesterday's. The headline is "Breaking Down What's Wrong with Personal Finance Shaming Articles."
What?
Yeah, it's just quite a mouthful. So we're going to take the time to break. We're going to take this article that was written about helping people save money. We're going to call it personal finance shaming, and then we're going to break down what's wrong with it. Okay, fine. I'm not even going to get into all of that. But this is a graph that a bank tweeted out yesterday. The average American spends almost $18,000 a year on non-essentials. Some of these non-essential costs are restaurant meals, ride shares, drinks, personal grooming, subscription boxes, takeouts, delivery, buying lunch, cable, online shopping, and impulse purchases.
It's my whole life.
Well, yeah. To me, this sounds very reasonable, though. If you are trying to save money, these seem to be the areas that it makes the most sense to cut spending in.
Is pointing out people's bad behavior now always considered shaming?
Indeed,
is that what you're getting to?
Yes, because if you look on Twitter, people are like, oh, so I'm not supposed to go get a haircut. No, that's not what this is saying. It's just saying maybe you shouldn't spend so much money getting a haircut. I'm not supposed to have cable. Well, if you're trying very hard to save money and you're bemoaning how broke you are, cable is a non-essential item. You can survive as a human being and have a really great life without cable or without going out and impulse buying things or without using ride shares. Sorry to our Uber driver in the room, but it's just true. But yeah, people call that personal finance shaming because that's the closest that a lot of people get to taking a vacation. So how dare you ever blah, blah, blah. Look, no one's telling you you're a bad person for doing those things. They're just simply pointing out they are not essential to your daily life and to your survival.
Okay, let's make this a broader conversation. There is every kind of shaming possible. Does it work? Here's my theory. That let's say that I think someone is fat and lazy. But I don't say it, or I say something and someone says like, oh, you can't do that. That's fat shaming, or it's motivation shaming, or what have you. It doesn't change my opinion. It doesn't change my personal thoughts about it. At best, it keeps me from saying something out loud. So is that good? Is it effective? Is it...
I think it does exactly what it claims to be fighting against, which it makes someone feel ashamed for what they said. Now, there are instances where I think people can be fat shamed and skinny shamed and sex shamed and anything. There's a difference between saying something with the goal of making someone feel embarrassed and ashamed and less than. And then there's just human speech and human interaction. So when you say things like a subscription box is non-essential and then someone wants to reply with, but it makes me feel good. You're finance shaming me. No, I'm not. I'm just saying you don't need to pay Ipsy $10 a month for your cute little cosmetics box. You can live without it. That's a fact.
Okay, this is going to be difficult. But where would you... Is there a bright line to draw the line? Like, I agree with physical things, although I'm certainly guilty of doing it. But I understand if you say something derogatory about someone's physicality or sexuality, that could be considered shaming. I don't like that word, but I get it. Beyond that, what else would you think is like, yeah, that's legit. You shouldn't be saying things like that. Beyond like a physical feature.
That's a tough question to answer because what we're trying to parse the difference between guilt and shame. Because I think when we talk about shame and we're really defining that as actually like the way somebody feels, if they feel ashamed when you say something.
See, I don't take it that way. I would disagree. I don't think that, like, let's just say fat shaming is that person feels shamed, because that person may not. That person may be a plus size model and is proud of it and is very aggressively like, no, I love the way I look. I think it's that it is that you're not allowed to comment negatively on someone else about fill in the blank. And I don't think it has anything to do really with what their reaction is. It's just you can't do that because that's quote unquote fat shaming.
Well, the interesting thing is by doing that, all you're doing is introducing more negativity into the situation. So if you're saying you're a bad person, you're shaming, that is in itself negative. You're shame shaming mm-hmm. at that point. I was just thinking about this the other night. When it comes to women, we spend so much time, ladies, we spend so much time with like, I can do anything, I'm beautiful. Yeah, that's all very true. I get a little frustrated because sometimes I feel like, is this a little condescending? Or ladies, are we not giving ourselves enough credit? But then when you break it down, I think a lot of women's issues in society stem from the fact that we a lot of times don't have a great sense of self-worth. So we find it through our friends, and we find it through a man, and we find it through this and this. We find it through having kids, when we just need a little more self-assurance. To me, the answer to shaming is just empowering, being like, no, I think they're great. Not, you're a shamer, you should shut up, I don't want to hear it, blah. You can never stop a negative person from being negative. All you're doing is introducing more negativity in the conversation. So you're fighting fire with fire.
And you make yourself ridiculous when you say things like this.
Yeah,
like,
that's just
like
dumb.
Your example with the extra spending, when you say like, you're financial shaming me, that makes true shaming look dumb.
Exactly. Whereas if you wanted to battle that, I guess, you don't have to battle. You could just say like, yeah, I probably could cut that out, but I like doing it. It makes me happy. I'll find other ways to spend money.
When did this happen? I mean, like, my dad, born in 1926, World War II, hard hat Joe, Union carpenter, you could shame him all day long, and he would just look at you like you're crazy and go back to work. It didn't affect him. He would have thought, oh, yeah, Roger, he's a dick. He just said something about me being bald. Whatever. I'm not going to talk to him anymore. It wouldn't have cost him 30 seconds of concern.
It's an offense
and yet
culture.
We're so like, it's like we all have a third degree sunburn. and anyone who comes near us, we're like, oh, God, that you just made me feel this and this. I think the answer, and I'm really just repackaging what Rachel said, but the answer is just internally.
It's within. Yeah. No one can make you feel a certain way. You choose your emotions. So, there are several thousand people out there being like, no, that's not true. But it is true. You choose how you react
and
to your life.
Let's play it out. For people like us who are public figures and we go out on social media and invite you to take part, if someone's really mean to you, block them. Okay, you're done.
Or ignore it.
Or if you are a normal non-public person and social media is hurting your feelings, get off it.
Yeah.
I haven't had social media in over 10 years. You have choices. If there's someone in your life that is hurting you and bothering you, get them out of your life. You have that power. But it's like this push-pull thing but to me, one of the necessary parts of this equation is we have given up so much of our power.
Yeah, I don't even know if you necessarily have to cut all those people out. You just have to realize that you are in control of yourself. So you have a couple of options. You can keep trying to change another person, which is literally impossible. No one does anything that they don't want to do. Or you can realize, I could continue a relationship with this person just knowing that it's going to be what it is, I can walk away.
And I'm not saying like you should be dropping friends every other day. I just mean that if there's someone in your life,
if it's that much of a problem,
that is really causing you like to think about this when you're not around them, there's a fix for this.
Yeah.
To the broader topic of the offended culture that we now live in, I don't know when exactly that happened, but we definitely do now. I was thinking the other day about how much I dislike the exact opposite side of that coin that we also have now, which is constant self-esteem building that seems hollow, because what it's done is I've realized since being on this show is that people my entire life throughout my generation, I don't think it was just me, have been saying, pursue your dreams, you're great, you can do anything. But when you land in a spot like this, which I consider just to be a fantastic job, I mean, this is a dream situation. This still isn't the dream that I've had in my head for my life. And so no matter what you end up doing with your life, if somebody's constantly telling you, you're going to do great things, you're going to achieve your dreams, you're always going to fall short of that because reality is always going to fall short of what's in your head.
Not every little girl who wants to be a singer is going to grow up to be Celine Dion, you know?
And exactly. I was brought up exactly the opposite. I mean, my mom and dad, they didn't talk about you can do anything you want to do. And it wasn't like, you better bring home straight A's. And in fact, when I told them I was going to law school, they were very upset. So I grew up the opposite. It wasn't, you can be president, you can be this. It was, keep your head low, don't try and stand out.
Well, my parents didn't do that either. But I mean, the culture that I grew up in, I remember even in the 80s and late 80s, people starting to, like, the word self-esteem was a big thing. Like, I had never heard that before. And then all of a sudden, I started hearing self-esteem. And I remember walking up to my dad once and him being like, what's wrong, bud? And just like basically wanted to smack me because I was just being mopey. And I go, I don't know, my self-esteem is feeling kind of low. And he was like, get out of here.
You're no son of mine. Yeah. How's your self-esteem feel now?
Yeah, whoops.
Now, that's kind of the point I was trying to make with like feminism. I'm all for feminism, but it's turned into this commercialized, like, you go, girl. Dave, you were saying in Infinity War, whenever all the ladies line up for absolutely no reason, and it's just like, the girls. I also find that to be extremely hollow. Yeah. I don't think that's what's going to take women to the next level. I think it's going to... The thing that'll take us to the next level will be realizing that we are just as important, competent, everything as men, and acting as such, and stop asking for all of this permission. Because that's all that stuff is, guys, am I good enough yet? Am I though? Are you sure?
As much as I could ever say if I were a woman, if I were African-American, but that's a good example. And if I were African-American, I believe that when things like voter suppression comes up because you are just unable to get a state ID within 2 or 4 years, that would piss me off. I wouldn't want the Democrats or the left saying like, no, you can't do that because these people have a much harder time. I'd be like, F you. Mm-hmm. I can do anything anyone else can do, and I can certainly get a state issued ID in the next 4 years, but you know, that's just me.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, get your DGS 5 tickets, balcony only remaining now, but they're only $20 at 971talk.com/DGS. Rachel, you had more on that?
Yeah, we were just saying, you know, where did this ultra-sensitive society come from? The way I really think about it, have you guys ever read The Jaunt by Stephen King?
Yes.
Have you read it, Ryan?
Well, long time ago. Remind me.
It's a short story that he wrote, and spoiler alert to the 40-year-old Stephen King short story, so turn the channel if you don't want to hear it. But it's basically scientists discovered a way to travel through all of time space.
So you get to Mars or something.
Yes. But they have to put you to sleep through it, because if you experience the jaunt, as it's called, you go insane because you're seeing everything that's ever happened. So the mice that went through the tunnel awake would just die on the other side. And any human that went through without sleeping, their hair would be white and they were just insane.
Wow, that sounds pretty good. Stephen King sounds like
really
a good writer.
You know, I think that kid might have something in him.
I think I read that in junior high. It really made an impression on me.
Oh, it's a great story. And it doesn't seem that far-fetched, but that's kind of how I feel. Now that we have the internet, like this life source of all information in our hands all the time, it's almost like we've all experienced a little bit of the jaunt now. We're all just so overexposed, and I am seeing so much. It's so much sensory overload. I know way too much about everyone on the planet. There's something like you're only really truly supposed to know 150 people, and now everyone knows thousands and thousands. I'm sure some people know hundreds of thousands of people or are making these kind of connections. So I think personally, I think that's how my nerves get frayed a little bit, because I need that recharge time. Yesterday I was walking to Culinera downtown here to get Dave some DayQuil, and I was just anxious, and I was just, my mind was racing, and I have really tried to get a lot into mindfulness and meditation to help my anxiety. And I just, you know, walking down the sidewalk by myself, realized you don't have to feel this way. And I just kind of tried to tune in to what was actually going on around me, and it started to go away. I feel like we all just get in this frenzy, this like fake digital frenzy of like, look what's going on over here. This blah. Just pay attention to what's actually going on around you, and you might simmer down a little bit.
Are you guys
just
familiar?
A little PSA for people out there who haven't tried meditation or mindfulness, it could really help you
or
if
Stephen
you feel
King.
Anxious sometimes. Yeah, Stephen King.
Are you familiar
too.
With the Skinner box?
I've heard of it. Explain it.
Yeah,
though.
Refresh my
B.F. Skinner, when he did the all the work with the rats, and if you give them a pellet, or if you give them an electric shock, if you do this, or if you do that. And basically, it's like too much stimulation makes the rats crazy. And I believe that pretty much anyone's home, whether you live in an apartment or a McMansion, if you want to beautify it, get a dumpster and take stuff out. You don't need more stuff, you need less stuff. And I think that analogy applies to our lives. If you want to make your life better, you probably don't need to add stuff in. You probably need to take stuff out.
Like get rid of your toilets?
Yes. Mm-hmm. But like, you know,
You'll feel better.
We're just rats in a Skinner box, and we just have too many little buttons to push to get this reward or to avoid this pain.
But we don't have to. And it feels like we do. It feels like you can't stop, especially... And this is not in a poor me way, but doing what we do, we have to always be watching the news and checking our phones and blah, blah, blah. So I always really look forward to that moment in the day when I don't have to. And it really helps. It helps you kind of stay on track.
A long time ago, when Talkers Magazine, our industry rag, was interested in me, they did an interview and they said, this is probably 10 years ago, said, what is the worst part of your job? And I said, the fact that I have to know everything. And the interviewer stopped and he was like, wow, that's really true. Mm-hmm. And it still holds true today. Like when I take time off or go on vacation, I do not go check the internet. I figure if there's a nuclear war, martial law, someone's going to let me know. Other than that, I'm pretty sure the world can handle it without me. And it's amazing how much you decompress.
I really, from having worked with you a little bit now, I really respect that about you, because... In this industry, you, especially news, you are expected to know everything that's going on at any given moment and kind of be an expert on it because you're required to explain it. You do a great job of both unplugging enough that you're not overwhelmed and saying sometimes, you know what, I don't know.
Yeah.
Which I think is refreshing to hear sometimes somebody just say, look, I don't know all the answers to these
things.
There
are two kinds of radio shows when it comes to that. There's 99 out of 100 that are pasty-faced pundit who fancies themselves as God, whether like ironically like Limbaugh or for real, like I really truly think I'm God. And I'm going to tell you how to live. I'm going to tell you how to vote. And then there's the 1 out of 100, like our show, where it really is, let's learn this together. And we sometimes we learn things together by arguing and debating, and sometimes it gets a little heated and people get their feelings hurt. But I far prefer shows like this where it's collaborative and the person who's in charge, like me, isn't some sort of self-appointed demagogue.
Yeah.
Who's going to just, you know, that never works.
Have you guys ever seen my phone?
No.
Barely gets on the internet. On purpose. I don't have Facebook on it or anything. And that's on purpose. And part of that, though, is just that when I'm at home, the temptation, and I think this is for everybody,
is... Was that Andrew naked?
On my phone? Did I just show you that?
Yeah.
I was trying to show you the back, not the front.
Was that Bigfoot?
Well, he still has the hat on, so...
Yeah.
Not totally naked.
Instead of, like, engaging with my kids, I will get on Facebook or I will check email and stuff. And I'm like, if I'm going to stop that, I got to stop it now because you can't go back. Mm-hmm. Once you get it, you need it. And so I deliberately have a phone that barely gets on the internet.
Good for you.
I don't know if it is, but we'll see.
I have a little pet peeve. Pardon me.
I got one too.
Me too.
This is sort of journalistic because I do read so many articles I don't just want the headline, but I want the basics. Just give me okay, here's a perfect example. There is an article today that the headline was basically a microbe has been discovered that elongates life. I'm in. Tell me about it. And it's a very long article that gets pretty scholarly. Just in the first paragraph, I want you to tell me everything. We found this microbe. It's called X95, and it prolongs life because it attaches to your proteins. Now, I can read the rest of the article or not, but I hate it when you just keep skimming and looking for the payoff, and it's like, Catherine of blah blah, PhD, says, I don't give a rat's ass.
Lady that's, PhD,
you're talking
right.
about journalism. Like, that's the way articles are supposed to be written in journalism.
Not anymore.
The inverted pyramid.
Yeah, I don't know.
Here's my pet peeve. Why haven't they invented a 24-hour taco place that you can sleep at and called it the Taco Tel? Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's a fair question.
My pet peeve is, I was watching TV the other day, and Jennifer Gardner was doing an advertisement. Am I really supposed to believe that a famous actress, millionaire with perfect skin is using Neutrogena anti-wrinkle age repair? It's like $13. I don't believe that she's using it.
You don't?
No.
I didn't until I saw the ad.
And then you were like,
I was like, oh, that must be what she, yeah. I'm going to get some of that.
How much I hate Shaq because I'm so jealous of him. Uh-huh. But I saw an interview with him the other day.
Shaq?
Yeah.
He hates Shaq. And but Tony's best friends with Shaq.
And Shaq said, I do so many endorsements and get paid millions of dollars, but I only do endorsements for people I use. And his example was the General auto insurance. So when he was broke, he tried to get auto insurance, and the only one he could afford was through the General.
Oh, wow.
And he still uses them.
That's cute.
Yeah, he said he met the guy that owns the company, and he was like, oh, I used you. And the guy was like, would you be my spokesman? He's like, absolutely. Now, that I respect.
Yeah.
That Shaq only does things for things he actually uses.
Do you remember when Shaq, had a show on ABC, and it was like, get moving, kids. We're going to make America healthy. But then it's like, Shaq.
You're kind of fat. Yeah.
Yeah, you're a little... You're not playing in the NBA anymore, buddy. I don't know if I trust your advice.
To answer your question, no, I do not remember that show. Does anyone?
I do.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.